On this episode of I'm Not a Lawyer, But the Debrief.
They're coming in. When you talk about what they took, all his electronics, okay? They took cameras. They took thumb drives. They took hard drives. They took everything in there because this is what is going to look to be substantiated. If Rodney was called into a room with the feds and said it's in this room at this house and in this place, that's the kind of stuff that goes to probable cause that gets presented in front of a judge that then signs off and then the helicopters pull up.
Now, if you're not ready, then go ahead and tell me you're not ready.
I object to you getting records. You've been intrusive into people's personal lives.
In other words, the car didn't hit him and he wasn't hit by the car.
I'm not a lawyer, but... Are y'all keeping up?
Debrief.
Welcome to I'm Not a Lawyer, But this is the Debrief. My name is Mel, aka I'm Not a Lawyer, But, and I am joined by my co-host
Gooseberry.
Yes, sir.
How y'all doing?
Okay. And we got a lot to talk about today.
We do. So we're gonna talk about YSL. Mm-hmm. We're gonna talk about Ashley Grayson.
Yep.
Diddy,
of course,
and I might have a conspiracy theory at the end.
All right, yeah. We're introducing a new segment. Greg's gonna go through a conspiracy theory. I am anti conspiracy theory, if you can't tell, which is why I use a lot of documents and lawsuits for my videos, because that's the way that I usually roll. But before we get into it, quick plug for the Patreon. As always, if you want to access documents used on this podcast or in any of my videos, you can join my Patreon. It is patreon.com/I'm Not a Lawyer But. I put all of the docs in there. You also can watch this podcast live. Okay, so let's get into it. Okay, so we all know that Diddy's house was raided. Okay.
Houses.
You are correct. Both coasts. Yes. The feds came in. It was Homeland Security. Came in and raided his house on Monday, March 25th. I am not going to spend a ton of time talking about the raid, mainly because there's not a ton of information. There's a bunch of speculation, and I may speculate slightly, but there's not a ton of actual, like, we don't have the search warrant, okay? We don't have affidavits. We don't know if the feds are looking into him, and, like, we don't know who potentially is the victim. Right. In this case, for this case, we know from civil cases what has been alleged. But like for this criminal case, we don't know any of the details of that. Also, we don't know exactly what they were looking for. Again, we can speculate because of the lawsuits, but we don't know for sure. And so I don't. Once we have that information, obviously, we'll be able to talk about that a little clearer.
I'm going to tell you what I think, though.
Hello. Tell us.
They looking for videos, pictures, evidence.
100%.
Most of these guys that have been caught doing the things that he's done always, for some reason, have archives.
100%.
Videos and just records of what they've done. Almost if, like, when it's all said and done, they gonna confess and say, hey, here's the evidence. This is what I did. Ha, ha, ha. I got away type stuff.
Well, most of the lawsuits said that there is video evidence. So
that's what
it is a fair assumption that they went in there looking for stuff. But I mean, to say for sure, I guess, is where I am hesitant. Okay. But what we do know is that Homeland Security for sure said that it is a part of an ongoing investigation, which would be a criminal investigation. There's some U.S. official that I read that said that it was due to a possible ongoing sex trafficking investigation. And so they said possible. Okay. So again, that is not confirmed. You can speculate that sex trafficking would be involved. I think that's also a part of what Homeland Security does in particular. So again, you can assume. But the other thing is that we know right now there are no criminal charges against Diddy. Okay. He has not been officially criminally charged with anything. Okay. So that is why his restrictions are not I mean, his movements are not restricted right now. People were saying that he was on a flight headed to away. He was on the run. He was actually just headed on spring break with his children. And that is okay for him to do, because if it was not, when they pulled up at the airport, he would have been arrested. They did not arrest him because he is not charged.
Okay.
Yet.
So no.
No what?
He was not headed to.
No, what actually, Reddy was headed to the Bahamas. Actually, the Bahamas. He was okay. Just going. It's spring break time for kids in LA, and yep. He was just headed on spring break trip with his children.
And it just so happened to be the same time the police raid both of his homes.
Correct. And actually, I just want to also note, his attorney obviously has released a statement. You can scroll through. This is just him. Some of the footage, the pictures, obviously, from the homes being raided. That is, I don't know how TMZ gets images like this. It's wild to me. That is obviously Homeland Security saying that it was a part of an ongoing investigation. You can keep going. Diddy at the airport. Amen. This is them at the airport as well. And we may go back to that, but keep going. Okay, this one. So Diddy's attorney released a statement yesterday. There was a gross overuse of military level force as search warrants were executed at Mr. Combs's residences. There is no excuse for this excessive show of force and hostility exhibited by authorities or the way his children and employees were treated. Mr. Combs was never detained, but spoke to and cooperated with authorities. Despite media speculation, neither Mr. Combs nor any of his family members have been arrested, nor has their ability to travel been restricted in any way, which is what I was saying. This unprecedented ambush, paired with an advanced coordinated media presence, okay, leads to a premature rush to judgment of Mr. Combs and is nothing more than a witch hunt based on meritless accusations made in civil lawsuits. There has been no finding of criminal or civil liability with any of these allegations. I'm going to insert yet. Mr. Combs is innocent and will continue to fight every single day to clear his name, and that is his attorney, Aaron Dyer. So I just want to quickly say, because of the advanced coordinated media presence, I think there's an implication there that there was a heads up given to the media to know to be at their house. Obviously, there was. It's a celebrity's house. There's helicopters. Okay, there's a lot going on. So who knows if it was actually advance notice or if people start looking up when it's a celebrity's house and there's helicopters and streets start getting blocked off. But anyway, that is obviously the statement from the attorney.
Now, you know, during like in movies, that reporter's always dealing with some investigator or reporters dating the police officer, and they always talking there in cahoots. Mm-hmm. I believe that's real life. So,
I mean, it could.
They had to inform the media, or the media inform whoever.
You're meaning the FBI or the feds. Okay. Well, I mean, I'm not clear how TMZ got pictures and video from the house afterward. Mm-hmm. There's no I don't know who TMZ is connected to. Okay. I don't know who Harvey Levin got on payroll, but he be doing.
Everybody. They pay people for their pictures.
For sure. For sure. But what, okay, I just want to get to, because he also noted, obviously, in that statement, it was noted that nobody from Diddy nor anyone from his family was arrested. Okay. Mm-hmm. But there was somebody that got arrested at the airport. And that is important to note, because it's going to get to our next point, which is a bit of a connection that I want to make, because I've been getting a lot of messages and this is important to note. This is Brendan Paul. Okay. He is, if you scroll, go back a couple to the airport. One more. You see the blue over mm-hmm. there. Okay. So that is him. Okay. So this is again, Brendan Paul. Okay,
now I'm going to Facebook manager
pull it all together for you. Brendan Paul is 25 years old, and he was arrested when the cops came to the airport to everybody relax. We raid in your house right now. He was arrested on drug related charges. It was 2 counts of possession of suspected cocaine and then 1 count of possession of suspected marijuana. Okay. Mm. Now, why this matters is because the civil lawsuits. Okay. So we all know that there has been 5 civil lawsuits made made against Diddy. Started with Cassie back in November, and there were some in between there, and then up to the fifth one, which happened in February, about a month ago. Mm-hmm. And that one was filed is the word that I wanted. That one was filed by a man named Rodney Jones. Rodney mm-hmm. Jones is a producer, and he has, you know, done a ton of things in the music industry. And he filed the lawsuit, like I said, in February. And when he first filed it, there was some bombshells in there. But 2 days ago, he filed an amendment. There was an amendment filed to his original February lawsuit. Okay. And there were some changes between the one amendment, obviously, changes between the first one and the second one. So what I did was I went through the first and the second one to figure out what exactly changed. And that's what I want to talk about, because those are actually some important parts. Okay. So the first thing is that Cuba Gooding, go to the next one. Cuba Gooding Jr. has been added to the new one. The new one is on the right. The first one that was filed is on the left. Okay. So you see Cuba's name, obviously. Now, Cuba was listed in the first lawsuit, and there was basically Rodney Jones had said that Diddy grooms people, and Rodney felt like he was being groomed by Diddy for Diddy to then pass you off to his friends. Okay. And so Rodney was saying that he was being groomed by Diddy to be passed off to Cuba Gooding Jr. And in the lawsuit, he talks about a time they were on a yacht and they were in the studio, and he included pictures in which Cuba was touching the inner thigh of him and touching him in an unwanted way. And so he wasn't originally listed as a defendant. He now is listed. That's the first change. The second change is that two of the defendants have been removed. You see the arrow for Ethiopia Habtemariam. I don't know how to pronounce her last name. That's my best guess. And then Chalice Recording Studios. Okay. So Ethiopia was at one point the CEO of Motown Records. And she, like I said, has now been removed. And she was removed in exchange for her to submit a declaration. And she also notes that if called upon to testify, she will testify to what is in the declaration. Okay, so this is the letter, and you see it says, under this agreement, in exchange for a declaration that will be appended to the forthcoming amended complaint, the plaintiff has agreed to dismiss all claims against Ethiopia with prejudice. So she agreed to submit this declaration, and then the charges against her would be removed. Okay, So this is a part of her declaration. It has her name at the top. I have personal knowledge of the facts set forth herein, which are known by me to be true and correct. And if called upon to testify as a witness, I could and would competently testify thereto. And so these are her declarations. When she started working at UMG, that she was promoted to president, that she was given title of president at Motown Records, et cetera. Okay, go to the next slide. I don't remember if I included. Okay, so this is the rest of it. So she just goes through kind of her history. And so if called upon to testify, she is saying that y'all can ask me about all this stuff in here because I'm going to be able to tell it to you.
So she was taken off the first.
Uh-huh.
What you call it?
The first lawsuit as a defendant, and now
then they mm-hmm. amended it because she agreed to sign.
Uh-huh. They worked out a little deal
to say, uh-huh. "Hey, if you need me to testify, absolutely. I will."
Yes,
do it. So that's why they took her off.
100%.
Okay.
So now she is gone off the lawsuit. Now the other people removed, the other defendant that was on the first one and is not anymore, is Chalice Studios. Mm-hmm. Now, why this matters is because Chalice Studios is a studio in LA, and this studio is where Rodney Jones alleges in his lawsuit that Diddy and his son and or his somebody between Diddy and his son shot a man in the bathroom of this studio. Go to the next slide, because I think I included the pic. Oh, maybe I did. Okay. So you see the following are screenshots of the aftermath of the restroom where G was shot by either Mr. Combs or J, meaning Justin Combs. Okay. There we go. I should have probably warned y'all that that's graphic. I may have to fix that in post for YouTube.
Just looking at it, it don't look that bad.
Okay, go to the next slide. So Chalice Studios, again, was originally included as one of the defendants, but they have since been removed. And what in the new lawsuit, this screenshot is included. Okay, Rodney has added this screenshot in which Chalice Recording has sent to somebody saying that the shooting occurred a half a block away from Chalice and it was a result of a robbery. There are police reports corroborating this. Please wait for facts to come out before you start contributing to the defamation of our organization. And so the big thing in the lawsuit is that Rodney Jones is saying there was this dispute at the studio with this man named G. Mm-hmm. And Diddy and Justin, they go into the bathroom, shots ring out, the door opens, G is now laying on the floor. Diddy and Justin say, y'all better not say nothing, we was never here. They go across the street and kind of wait it out. Police come, and there's essentially, he's saying that there is a cover-up that has happened, okay? And so this is all that's new in the second, in the amended lawsuit. These things were not included. The shooting was, but that text message, that DM was not. And then this also was not. And you see it says Mr. Combs and Jay Combs were located in Studio G across the parking lot from the building where G was shot. Mr. Combs and Jay Combs hid out in recording Studio G while the police investigated and were the first to depart after the officers left. And you see that number 7, okay, because he has a lot of footnotes. If you go down to the screen, that number 7 is him saying this fact will be made crystal clear in discovery. Okay. And so why, again, this is important and how it's going to connect to the fact that his house got raided is all throughout this lawsuit, Rodney Jones is like, and I can back it up. And I have video and I have pictures. So if you're alleging crimes such as this and more, and then claiming to have receipts. Video and or claiming that Diddy has receipts, that would be an indication. That would be where the speculation starts to come in as to why his homes got raided. Okay, y'all making the connection?
Now, yes. Rodney.
Yep.
Okay. Is suing because he was...
Rodney has a quite a number of causes of action.
Okay. But one is sexually assaulted?
Absolutely.
Okay. So now P. Diddy is grooming boys to pass off to other men?
People. He is grooming people is what the claim is.
You got to.
It's not specific to a gender,
now,
I would say.
Okay, okay. So he's grooming. He groomed people. Rodney, or Rodney felt like he was being groomed to go to
Cuba Gooding Jr.
Cuba Gooding Jr. Uh-huh.
So this is another part that has been added to the lawsuit that was not in the first one. And it says that as of the date of this filing, neither the Los Angeles Police Department nor the LA Fire Department have released any official reports surrounding the shooting. There has been no body camera footage or 911 call recording. What is even more disturbing is that there has been no sighting of G. Okay. I'm going to skip down to the next number 69, which says the unfortunate shooting of G, the unexplained disappearance of G, the lack of disclosures by the LAPD and LAFD, and the incoherent nature of Sean Holly, who is one of Diddy's attorneys, and Chalice Recording Studios' account of the shooting raises more questions than answers, points to foul play, and an apparent massive cover-up. Again, this is all what is in the second one. This blurb, not in the first one. So in the first one, when reading, I was like, who is G? He was only given this name, the G name. And there was never any indication of who that actually was. It was a friend of Justin's is the most that it said. And so in the second one, he is saying that G is missing.
Now, we talking like just ain't been around or like his family can't find him?
I don't know. This is all we have. And it was not in the first one. It just says unexplained disappearance. Okay. So that is that. I'm not going to spend too much time on that because I don't want to have an unexplained disappearance, okay? Moving on.
One more question. What? Why don't they know this guy's name? Why is it just G?
Well, again, this is a civil lawsuit. This is if you were trying to file a lawsuit against Cuba Gooding Jr., right? Like you only have, you know, as much information as you know. Granted, should this move on to trial and they would have a full-on discovery period, there would be more investigation. They could come up with who that actually is. But as of now, you know, many times they'll say, Jane Doe's 1 through 10. And it's because there's a group of people, and we don't know specifically who they are, but they are going to be, this lawsuit will be amended once we know their names. So that could be the case. I don't know.
Okay. And this was brought up because Rodney brought this up, the shooting.
Yes, it was. Okay. Another part that was included in the second one and not the first that I just found was interesting is that Rodney is going through his time with living with Diddy. Mr. Jones, Rodney, was the victim of constant unsolicited and unauthorized groping and touching of his anus by Mr. Combs. And then he lists the place that it occurred, L.A., New York, Florida. So the one on the bottom, you see number 54, that is from the first lawsuit. And it just goes L.A., New York, Florida, and then United States, Virgin Islands. But in the amended one, number 74, it's now including this other island. I can't pronounce that. St. Barth. I don't know what that is. It's some island in the Caribbean. Really? I looked it up. It's an island in the Caribbean. So I think that that was interesting only because we start talking about international waters. So I found that to be probably intentional. Okay. So the only reason I included this is that, sorry, if these are like,
they look like young y'all.
Surprising. I should give warnings. Okay, so we cannot spend a ton of time on this. On the first lawsuit, there was this image that was put in the lawsuit, and it said that this was Stevie J, and the claim that Rodney made is that Diddy showed Rodney a video of Stevie J engaged in some intercourse with a white man. And so Rodney included this image saying that it was taken from the video of Stevie J. Now, after the lawsuit came out, Stevie J said, "That's not me. It's a porn star." And then the porn star came out and said, "That's not Stevie J. It is me. And everybody knows it's me. Stop saying it's Stevie J, blah, 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 whatever." Now, in this amended lawsuit, you see number 10, that blurb at that bottom, that's from amendment, okay? And it says, upon information and belief, Stevie J denies that he is in the person in the video. A male porn star claimed that he was the black male in the video. Mr. Jones, Rodney, stands by his position that Mr. Combs provided him with the video and identified the individual in the video as Stevie J. Okay, so he is saying, okay, they said it's not them, but I promise you, Diddy did show me a video. And so in this amended lawsuit, these images are not included anymore. But that the footnotes are.
Kudos to Stevie J to come through and respond like
yes.
he did.
Because
when you're innocent, that's usually what you do. But go ahead.
Okay, and so this next blurb is, according to Mr. Jones, again, not included in the first one, in the second one. During the creation of the Love album, Mr. Combs was very serious about setting the mood and creating a love-making atmosphere. To accomplish this, he did the following. So he had like some lights and he did a bunch of things. And later on says that he, on several occasions, Mr. Combs would send voice notes to the Love album. They had a group chat and pose questions to the group, soliciting their opinions on Mr. Jones. So he's in the group chat and he's saying that Diddy would be like, yo, what y'all think about Rodney, even though like Rodney's in the group chat, questioning his loyalty and whether they think he is a good fit for the team. Throughout the creation of the Love album, Mr. Combs required Mr. Jones and others to solicit sex workers and engage in sex acts. According to Mr. Jones, Mr. Combs felt that you cannot make a Love album without making love. So that, again, those were some additions. Okay, now let's talk about Christina.
That sounds kind of artistic of him.
Did it? This is Christina. They call her KK, for that's how she's referenced kind of throughout. I'm not going to attempt to pronounce her last name. I will just say Christina or KK. So Christina is the chief of staff to Diddy, okay? And she is very involved in all of this, in this lawsuit, according to Rodney. She required all employees from the butler to the chef to the housekeepers to walk around with a black Prada pouch or fanny pack filled with cocaine, GHB, ecstasy, and some other stuff.
She's Epstein's girl.
The way that Rodney notes her in the lawsuit, he says that she is the equivalent of Ghislaine Maxwell. I can't remember what her last name is, but she is that to mm-hmm. Diddy. She is what Ghislaine was to Epstein. Okay, so according to Rodney, defendant KK ordered sex workers for Mr. Combs. On one occasion, she sent Mr. Jones a text message requesting that he call a particular sex worker, and then it says, "We have the message." Again, when you are talking about a criminal investigation, because what happened initially, right, is that all these civil lawsuits came out and a bunch of ignorant people were saying they just want money. Cassie is doing this for money. Why, if it wasn't about the money, why wouldn't she do a criminal? Why wouldn't she file criminal charges? Number one, the DA, okay, is responsible for holding people accountable criminally. Yep. Okay. That you can't just say send them to jail. Okay. That it's a different process, number one. But what is important when it comes to civil lawsuits and specifically ones like this in Cassie's, when you make big claims about crimes and then say that there is evidence to back them up, you bet law enforcement's ears are perked. Okay. You bet the questions are being asked. Oh, yeah. You bet interviews start happening. And so while initially it may have looked like Diddy, all these people just wanted money, what happens on the back end is that the feds start looking into this stuff. And if stuff is substantiated, raids happen. Okay. If they feel like they have enough probable cause and can submit paperwork to a judge to say, I should get a search warrant, and the judge signs off, all of a sudden on 11 o'clock news, they talking about helicopters in the air. That's the way that kind of stuff works. Okay.
And you know, the judge and all these investigators can't wait to catch these high profile people, these billionaires. So they just itching at the 100%. Fingers waiting for any type of evidence. Also, why these women that are involved in this drug human trafficking situations all look the same? She looks like Ogre, like a little wicked witch.
Oh my gosh.
Don't they look like sisters?
I don't think she looks like Ghislaine. I do see what you mean though, as far as like looking evil, but
white, or like not even white. It's like she's might be like Armenian or something.
All right, enough.
No, I'm saying her ethnicity, she doesn't look white. She looks, but they all have that nose, the dark hair, them dark features around their eyes. You little witch, man. But anyway.
All right. Okay. According to Mr. Jones, again, this is on the second one, not in the first one. According to Mr. Jones, on multiple occasions, defendant KK forced him to carry Mr. Combs's drug pouch against his will. The pouches were always black, and several of Mr. Combs's staff carried black Prada pouches. And you see that arrow. That's a black Prada pouch on his hip, okay, on his waist. According to Mr. Jones, defendant KK also sent Mr. Jones to solicit sex workers for Mr. Combs. When the sex workers arrived at the residence, defendant KK would negotiate their price, take them aside, and pay them.
My question, this sounds like prostitution.
Absolutely.
Right? Okay. Now, is prostitution, is that human trafficking?
I don't believe.
No, because prostitution is selling yourself. Trafficking is taking people and selling
that. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So that's the understanding I'm trying to understand.
Uh-huh.
So he's just paying for sex at this point.
Yes. Right? Diddy is having him pay for sex. But again, there's been 5 lawsuits, right? And so obviously we're just going on over the differences between this first one and this second one, or the amended one. But there are multiple claims in the other lawsuits. And I'm trying to remember if there's a specific one in here. But there are claims that he, like with Cassie, right, that she was trafficked. She was forced to have sex with other people.
Okay.
And not even just in New York or California, but was flown to locations. And exactly, that's the trafficking part. Once you start moving, you're talking about trafficking. And that's that logic applies to drugs, and it applies to guns, weapons. Okay. And so what has been alleged in all of these lawsuits is all of those things are trafficked. And that's why I said this may be a sexual, a sex trafficking, you know, investigation for the feds, but it also could be drug trafficking. Yeah. And it also could be because
old boy was locked up for having the drugs.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Right. And we'll get to it. But what Rodney claims in here is that they traveled with their guns and their drugs and their sex workers and their women and their men and their like mm-hmm. all of this stuff traveled.
Okay.
So we're looking at more. This is all speculation until mm-hmm. we actually see the documents. But that's why I was saying that it could be more than just sex trafficking. Okay. So this next section that was included that I just found interesting, because a lot of blogs and a lot of people are talking about who's mentioned in there and blah, blah, blah. But what is interesting is that Mr. Jones believes that Mr. Combs has recordings of several celebrities, artists, music label executives, and athletes engaging in illegal activity at his functions. That first sentence says that Mr. Combs had hidden cameras in every room of his home, which is the same thing that Cassie said in her lawsuit, that there are cameras everywhere. So
yeah.
If you would Kat say, did he want a party? God tell him no. You got to mm-hmm. tell him no, because now you might be on candid camera.
But if it walk like a duck, talk like a duck.
Yes. Duck. And it says Mr. Combs possesses compromising footage of every person who has attended his freak off parties and his house parties. So
he has footage.
And again, this goes to when the feds come and raid your house, when there's allegations of this kind of stuff, they're coming in. When you talk about what they took, all his electronics, mm-hmm. okay? They took cameras, they took thumb drives, they took hard drives, they took everything in there, because this is what is going to look to be substantiated. If Rodney was called into a room with the mm-hmm. feds and said it's in this room at this house and then this place, that's the kind of stuff that goes to probable cause, that gets presented in front of a judge that then signs off, and then the helicopters pull up.
And none of, you know, people filmed stuff on their phones mm-hmm. and none of that stuff. You can't erase that stuff.
Well, what's crazy, if I don't know if y'all remember, you know, I read every page of Cassie's lawsuit. Cassie said that he would record stuff, and there was one particular video of some encounter. She deleted the video off of her phone. Mm-hmm. And then she got on the plane next to him, and he played it in front of her to show her, you thought you deleted it. I have it all. So it don't matter what you think you deleted. It seems like he got the backups anyway. He has his own versions. Evil. It's existing. Okay, so this is another part that was included in the second one. Okay, so obviously Rodney makes these massive claims in February. And everybody was like, ooh, he better be careful. And it seems like there some stuff happened. So in this amended complaint, it says on or about March 2nd, 2024. Okay. The lawsuit happened in February 26th. So March 2nd, Mr. Jones was informed by a close friend from his church that Mr. Combs's engineer, whose name is Matt, provided an individual's phone number to Los Angeles-based private investigator Russell Green. Upon information and belief, Mr. Green attempted to bribe this anonymous person with an uncertain amount of money in exchange for her producing text messages or any evidence that this individual could produce to paint Mr. Jones in a bad light. During a call with Mr. Jones, the individual expressed fear for her safety and the safety of their family. This is a clear example of some of the tactics that Mr. Combs uses. So, of course, this is him saying there were threats. There were this intimidation factor, right, that comes into it. A lot of people are like, why didn't they just leave? Why didn't whatever? But when you have someone who is powerful, and I'm, you know, this is all alleged, obviously, but in general, when you have someone who is powerful, who has resources, who has money, who has control, these are the kind of things you would be scared. You would be scared. Another thing that he mentioned, that Rodney mentioned in this lawsuit, is that part of this lawsuit is about the fact that he did work and he was never paid. So he was like, I didn't even have my own resources. I was working. I'm living at this guy's house. I'm doing all of this work and he's not even providing me money. So even when I want to leave, I can't. I don't have the means to leave. I'm waiting for my check, for him to give me my check.
On top of that, you sexually harassed me.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Um,
Bang.
Okay, and then it says, besides contacting the individual previously mentioned, so this person above, Mr. Green, the private investigator, contacted Mr. Jones's 8-year-old daughter, allegedly. This is the document. I'm not saying it happened. I'm saying what he said happened. He solicited information from this child about her father until she cried in fear and handed the phone to her mother. At that time, her mother hung up the phone. Mr. Green proceeded to text her. She informed him that she did not want to be bothered, and he continued to send her unwanted, harassing text messages.
That's tough right there. I'm not sure. Having a family and having somebody come at you like that is different from being a single man, because if I was single and you approached me that way, then we fighting, or I'm doing something to you. But now that I have a family and you threaten me or you reach out to my wife, you know, I can't protect you at all times.
Yeah.
So that's scary.
It's terrifying. Yeah. Absolutely terrifying.
I can't even front. I'd be shaking up about that. Calling my house, talking to my daughter.
Yeah.
And at this time, you calling people cell phones. Dang. Okay. That's wild. That's a charge too, right? Because isn't that one of the charges? YSL trying to bribe the witnesses?
Well, that would be a criminal. If it was a criminal case and you were trying to intimidate a witness, that would be, yes.
This isn't because of the private investigator situation?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like you could probably claim harassment, but it's not intimidating a witness. I don't believe so. Mm. I'm not a lawyer, but I don't believe so.
That's wild.
And then I just included this one again. It's in the second one, not in the first one, but because of Ethiopia being removed as a defendant, this is the way that he uses some of her declarations throughout the lawsuit. According to Ethiopia's declaration, the collective reimbursed or paid for the collective meaning the defendants, the like UMG and Motown, reimbursed or paid for the production of the Love album. Mr. Jones was not compensated. So if Ethiopia's declaration is correct, what is the collective financial support used for? So again, my point here is throughout the lawsuit, now that Rodney has this declaration from Ethiopia, they're able to use it to further kind of prove or substantiate what they're saying, like their allegations. Mm. And so I'm assuming if she was ever called to the stand, these are the kind of things that she would be called. Did you guys pay them? How much? What was the process? Was there any checks and balances on with the money? It says, and what mechanism did the collective have in place to ensure the money provided to defendants Sean Combs, Combs Enterprises, et cetera, were used for the purposes of outlined in the collective's partnership deal? So basically, what were your checks and balances? You guys were just giving this guy a ton of money and did not even have a way to confirm that it wasn't used on, I don't know, sex trafficking. So anyway,
Rodney
that's...
Rodney is doing a good job.
Sure.
Whoever's helping them or whatever.
His attorney?
Yeah, they doing good.
Well, a lot of people had a lot of things to say about the lawsuit and the how professional it was. Okay, so this is Rodney on the left, the black guy with the green. You see the brim of the green. And then in the back is Brendan. Okay, remember, Brendan is the one who was arrested at the airport on
That's
Monday.
That's the same dude.
That's him. Okay, there he
looked like Harry Potter in the lab.
And he's in, like I said, in the lawsuit. Okay. And this picture was not in the first one. Mm-hmm. It definitely is in the one that was done this week. It says, again, Brendan Paul works as Mr. Combs's mule. He acquires and distributes, I don't know
his
what that
mule?
Word is. Yeah. Drugs and guns. I don't know what the word that I intended for that to be, though.
Mule?
Oh, and distributes Mr. Combs's drugs and guns. There you go. Again, so he is included in this one. He was included in the first one, but it's more pictures and most stuff was added in this amended one. Yes, Brendan did play for Syracuse. He was a basketball player.
I was just about to say, yeah. He seems like a tall.
He made 3 points.
Oh, okay. Mm. Is your mic on? Okay. Cam was just saying that he made 3 points in his entire Syracuse career. So he wasn't like a star or anything.
Well, obviously,
but he did
he
play.
Found his
sure.
His talent right here. Yeah. Being a mule.
So this is Brennan again. And what does he have in his lap?
Those look like
the black Prada pouch that is mentioned
with pills in his hand.
Exactly right. The following is a screenshot of a video taken of Mr. Combs's yacht on or about December 25th. So this is Christmas Day, 2022 at 2:40 a.m. Brennan Paul is videotaped with one of the black pouches. Defendant Combs and KK required the associates and members of the Combs RICO enterprise to carry. The pouch was filled with ecstasy, cocaine, GHB, ketamine, marijuana, mushrooms. Yeah. And I don't know what that word is. True tuck? I don't know drugs.
I don't know what tuck is either.
Some other kind of drug. Okay. Okay, so there's a lot of words on here, and I'm just going to jump to about the middle because it says that according to Rodney, defendant Sean Combs, Diddy, bragged about having several women on a monthly stipend. According to Plaintiff Jones, the women who receive these payments, the stipend, are Carisha Romika Brownlee, a.k.a. Young Miami, we know her, Jade Ramey, a.k.a. Jade, okay, and Daphne Joy Cervantes Navarez, a.k.a. Daphne Joy. We all know Daphne Joy is one of the mothers of 50 Cent's child. Okay, she is one of his, the mother of his, there you go. I was trying not to say it that way, but you know what it is. And they were paid a monthly fee to work as Mr. Combs's sex workers. This is what Rodney is claiming. Based on information and belief, they received payment via wire transfer from Robin Greenhill. What he says earlier in the lawsuit is that Robin Greenhill is the accountant for Love Records, which is Diddy's record label. It is unclear if they were provided the appropriate, this is why I was like, boy, stop. It is unclear if they were provided the appropriate United States federal tax documents for these payments or if they independently declared these payments on their taxes. I don't know why Rodney is asking if the money was taxed, okay? But
they didn't fill out their 1099. That's
apparently he is saying that the government is owed some money. It is unclear if defendants Grange, in his capacity of CEO of UMG, Motown Records, and UMG, requested an audit of defendant Sean Combs and Love Records financial records to ensure the financial support that they provided to Diddy and Love Records as a part of their partnership was not being used to pay these people. So a part of what he says and why he includes all of these other defendants in this lawsuit is because he says in some way they are liable. You guys financed all this money. You gave Diddy all this money with no checks and balances. Mm-hmm. And so you then allowed him to do this to people. You allowed him to traffic drugs, to sexually assault people, to buy prostitutes, to there's claims about minors in here. So he is saying that they in some way have some liability. They are responsible in some way because they gave this money and did not even check to see how it was being spent. On top of knowing that there were already allegations against Diddy, that's a part of his claim as well. You guys were irresponsible knowing that he has a history already. So if you know somebody has a history of doing X, Y, and Z, and yet you just give them money, it's like giving somebody in your family, right, who maybe has a drug problem, and you're just giving them money. Okay, girl, you can't be surprised that the person used the money on the drugs. That's what and so that's a part of what.
That's good, because I was showing up about to fight you on that one. But yeah, that's good there.
Okay. Next is.
Hold on uh-huh. now. So this stipend.
Yeah.
He gives these women.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't the Miami girl, wasn't that his girlfriend?
I mean, I think that's.
Oh, one of his girlfriends
be interpreted how you choose.
Okay, so
they were definitely seen around and visible. I don't know if she called him her poppy. I don't know what that means.
So he included this, basically stating they had the money to pay me, but instead he's paying
for everything else.
For everything else. Yes. And there's no paper trail behind this either.
Uh-huh. Well, I don't know about the paper trail.
Oh, okay.
Well, maybe not paper trail, but video trail, maybe. Okay, members of the Enterprise and their associates procured, transported, and distributed ecstasy, cocaine, GHB, ketamine, marijuana, mushrooms, and whatever that other drug that I've never heard of by packing those substances in their carry-on luggage and going through TSA. Again, this is where we start talking about trafficking of drugs. So he has listed dates and the starting and destinations, okay, for where drugs were transported. Again, when you're talking about feds pulling up and you are telling me you have dates and times and flights and all of that kind of information, these are this is crime. Okay. This is just crime, criminal crime. This gets people's attention. Okay. And law enforcement.
These drugs like that, just on, I guess, private planes, huh? Cause you're not getting,
oh, the pink cocaine is TUCI. Okay. Okay.
You're not getting all of that on a plane. Not the pills.
He makes a claim in here. I don't know if I screenshot it, but Rodney claims in here that Diddy told them that you can put certain things in your carry-ons.
Yeah, yeah.
You can. And it would not be checked. And he linked out in the lawsuit a link to the TSA website. Apparently, I was like, all right, sir, Rodney, I've had enough. But anyway, this starts to go into the drug trafficking is the point that I made in screenshotting and including this.
Side note,
mm-hmm.
I wonder how 50 Cent feels about him paying his baby mama a stipend.
I don't know if 50, well, 50 may know. I don't know. I don't know what 50 knows. He's posted enough. Okay.
I guess
50 Cent has had a lot to say about this situation.
Oh, he has.
And did he? Check his Instagram.
Okay, I will.
Because I know I've taken a lot of time. This is, okay, so this is just, again, more backups. I just was trying to show the fact that what Rodney is saying is that he has evidence of everything he's claiming. He's saying that on January 28, 2023, Diddy and KK forced Mr. Jones to send Ubers to transport a sex worker to Mr. Combs's home in Florida. And then he says, we have the complete text thread and have intentionally opted to not include it here to protect the identity of this sex worker. And then Diddy forced Mr. Jones to have sex with this individual against his will. He said there was too much testosterone in the studio and wanted sex workers there to create the vibe for the Love album. Sorry, that was a lot. I hope that it was clear. Did it make sense?
It makes plenty of sense. And okay. It sounds like Rodney has his I's dotted and his T's crossed, yeah. To be honest. This is... I want to see what happens, to be honest. I want to see what 50 Cent got to say.
Well, he's
about his baby
mama. Said there's a documentary coming. The other thing I just want to quickly add, though, is that a while ago, I think after Cassie,
mm-hmm.
there was this leak from NYPD that said there is a criminal investigation into Diddy. And everybody was like, what, whatever. And then NYPD came back and was like, we don't know who said that. That's a lie. Sorry, y'all. That's crazy. There's no investigation. And that was always weird because why would somebody say that? If it wasn't happening.
It was happening.
They just wasn't supposed to say it yet.
Yes.
The way that stuff like this happens is that when feds come to your house, they didn't start looking at you yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They didn't just start. They didn't pull up and hope. This has been in motion.
Yeah.
So I just feel like that NYPD tip off, that was an accident. It wasn't supposed to be said, but it was true.
Yeah.
There was absolutely the investigation had started.
It's just like when the police are looking for somebody in particular, they don't put their faces or their names out there yet. Because they don't want to warn
absolutely.
You that I'm coming. I'm
absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay.
Got to tell P. Diddy no.
You got to tell him no. You got to
tell
him.
What's wild, though, is this man is tied to so many people.
Oh, my goodness.
This man is tied to damn near everybody that you know in the music industry.
Mm-hmm.
And you've always have heard about him and his escapades. So... I see it's going to be more than him that's going to go down for some things.
Do you? Mm. Well, you know, that's what the people are saying. People are saying that it's going to be more than just
him.
Or he's
going to wind up like Epstein.
Well.
Can't play with too many
people. The question is, Well, when Cassie came out, I was like, okay, so this is just the start. There's going to be more. Mm. But again, what always strikes me, or what has been striking me for these last five lawsuits, is that they're all very similar. Okay. It's not like one is like, he did this very crazy thing and it was wild. And no, all of them are like, he did this very crazy thing to me and me and me and me and me. Everybody's story is consistent. And so when you start to say, oh, this is just how he gets down, mm-hmm. it starts to become clear. Everybody. This is who you are. So it's no longer surprising. And it's like, oh, okay. We were just waiting for the feds to pull up. It was a matter of time at this point. But the thing about this is that I do want to say again, we don't have the details of the criminal investigation yet. Mm-hmm. They could take a while. Think about all the stuff that they took from both of his mansions. Okay. All of that stuff is going to be downloaded and examined and analyzed and corroborated, and interviews are going to happen. There's going to be a ton of stuff. It's called an investigation. Okay. For a reason. So all of that stuff will take place. And then they will put out whatever they want to put out whenever they want to put it out, if they want to put it out. So it could take a while. We don't know when. Listen, when it drops, I will have it. I can guarantee you that. I will put it on the Patreon as soon as it drops. But until then, we all just, and I'm sure I can imagine he won't have many nights of sleep coming up. But we all will just wait to see what happens with the criminal side. This is just on the civil side.
I wonder if his boys are going to get
charged.
They of age.
He is listed. One of the sons is listed as a defendant in this.
Dang.
He is listed. Justin is listed as a defendant. We spent a ton of time on that.
That was good. So, though.
Okay, good. Well, I don't have to do YSL because it was me being frustrated with that case, as I always am. They didn't have trial yesterday, didn't have it today. They're going to start at like 1 o'clock tomorrow, and then they're off all next week. There's going to be some motions heard. And Brian Steele, Young Thug's attorney, has asked the judge to recuse himself. He asked him verbally in front of everyone. Well, not the jurors, but at the court. But when you do that, you also have to submit the actual motion. Okay. You have to submit the proper paperwork, and Steele has not done that. So I don't know if he's going to do that because it would mean starting all over. So I don't know if he was just pissed that day or what. But anyway, that was kind of essentially what I wanted to cover, because I do want you to get to the conspiracy. So let me just quickly talk about, do you want to do conspiracy now since it's related to Diddy?
Yes, we can talk about, let me see your hand. Turn it over. Have you ever had somebody read the future?
No.
No?
You know I haven't had a psychic done, so a psychic reading.
So, this young lady named Sloan.
I think it's Sloan, right?
Sloan Bella has predicted these two cases, that these two cases were going to come up on Diddy a year ago. I'm on the edge when it comes to people predicting the future, but this young lady predicted it down to the month. Okay. Basically saying it was going to be around Easter that Diddy was going to have some issues and his whole empire would start collapsing. I believe mediumship,
mm-hmm.
psychics,
mm-hmm.
they're not right and they're not believable until they are right.
Until they are.
They are believable. For somebody to have that and predict that a year ago, I mean, what
so
can
you believe
say?
It. You believe her right now. You believe that. Do you just believe her, or is it making you question mediums in general?
It has me questioning mediums in general.
Okay.
Because, like, what's her name? Miss Chloe?
Yeah.
The Jamaican lady, uh-huh, Chloe, uh-huh. whatever. I mean, that. I've never heard of her, you know, coming up with something that was true. It was more of entertainment on the TV. But I did look up some cases in real life. And the police, United States of America, they've solved some cases from mediums, but they never publicized it.
Oh, interesting.
And they never gave them credit for it because it makes them look bad.
Interesting.
Do you believe in
mediums? I don't know. You have a video of it, right? For us to listen to her saying stuff.
Do you have that, David? Or
I am seeing something by March with P. Diddy, another level of this. We're not done. It's like he's going to have to keep putting tarps over the hole in the roof because the rain keeps coming through. So just when he thinks he covered up the hole, another hole starts down there. And when he thinks he covered that hole, another hole starts over there. So it's not going to stop. Like, he's not off the hook. He may have paid Cassie, and good for her for getting out of it. Horrific. It doesn't matter who you slept with. Why is that blackmail? Stand up and say, this dude drugged me and he did this. She finally said it.
Yeah. So if I would have heard that last year.
Mm-hmm. In November. So it was after Cassie's. And then she comes out and she made a prediction before Cassie's too. That's the one I saw. I didn't even see this one. I saw the one about her saying in November something was going to drop for him. And so now she's made this about March, April, and that it's not going to be over and stuff's going to keep popping up. Ciao.
Woo. Down to the month is, I'm tipping my hat off to you. Now, this same young lady is saying something about your boy Jay-Z in November is going to start popping off for him. I'm just saying.
See, this is where I tap out. That's why I tap out.
Yeah, I'm eager for November.
I tap out.
Hey,
get out of here.
No, and Jay-Z, I hope Beyonce ain't. Come on, B.
Don't you? Okay, we've had enough. We will stop right there. Well, anyway, I think it. When I watched the first one about her predicting in November, I was like, oh, that's very, like, you know, luck of the draw. Okay, maybe she just got it.
Yeah.
But the fact that she then saying Easter, March, April, like that specific is very, it makes me, okay, what else she have? My question is, has she said anything else about anyone else and has it come true? Like, has she not missed on something else?
So that's what I was looking up. I couldn't find her credentials on anybody else. I know she said something about Justin Bieber back in the day. She does a lot of celebrities, but nothing like this, like headlines.
Got
true.
Yeah.
So whatever she said about Justin Bieber, he was going through some things in his life. Justin ain't never came out and said, boom, this happened.
Yeah, yeah.
And she predicted it. And I also, you know, when it comes to mediumship and psychics, it's almost like whatever this spirit realm or whatever they be feeling,
yeah,
comes for certain situations. Like, if I could predict anything, I would be predicting the lottery numbers or something worthwhile, and taking it from there.
Yeah.
I build my empire.
But some of it is like based on energy too, right? Like,
so that's what
and
I'm saying.
So like lottery numbers don't have energy tied to them. But like, you know, I don't think so. Mm. But like, not like a human energy that I can tap into and feel. Like, if you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
I think what they do is like tap into whatever and they're speaking to you and blah, blah, blah. Like you were being funny at the beginning. I've never had it done. I have a friend who had her reading her energy or whatever. There's different
cards.
Words for it. Well, it wasn't tarot cards.
Okay.
Beyonce, what is the movie that I love?
I don't know what movie you
Carmen, a hip hopera. I don't wanna.
What movie is that?
All right, you're gonna watch it today. Anyway, the point is, I think it has advanced in a different way, and it makes me, it's not the exact same. So don't, okay, Christians, don't come stone me. But when I think about prophecy, okay,
yeah.
when I think about the ability for prophets to speak, or to, like, you know, prophesy to you.
Yeah.
That's why I'm like, is it, what's happening with, I don't know enough. But it feels very like, that's fake. Until your point, which is that until it's not fake, until they say something real. So anyway, this is a conspiracy I may be in on with you.
Yeah. And mock me now. Listen to me. November. If some jump off with Jay-Z, I'm a full-on believer then.
Good night. Well, until I see the docs, okay?
What time? What month we in? All right.
April.
We got some time.
Okay, I'm going to be very, very quick and cover this last one. Before we go, I won't take up too much time because I know we are at time. But since I said we're going to talk about it, it's about a woman named Ashley Grayson. She was a TikToker, and she was a content, or is, we can say is, a content creator and an entrepreneur. And in September of 2001, she posted online that she made over $1 million in 40 minutes. Okay. So of course you post, and she had a screenshot. You could post the screenshot. So this is what she posted. Over $1 million in 40 minutes, less than an hour. Mama, I made it. Somebody call up Forbes, LOL, to God be the glory. Big Ash, millionaire mentor, no paid ads. And then she links her digital course recipe. Okay, so she posts this and it goes crazy. It goes viral. People are picking it up. All these whatever, right? Mm-hmm. And so naturally, it's the best kind of publicity because people start taking her course. Okay. People are trying to get in on what she is selling. So her platform was supposed to teach all that she had learned over 4 years as an entrepreneur. And she was also said to be known for helping people turn their skills and passions into valuable online courses within 60 days.
Yep.
That's funny. So of course, like I said, people start buying into it. People start believing it. And then fast forward a couple months and people on TikTok start saying that Ashley's a scammer. They start saying they gave her they money and ain't no courses. It's all a lie. A woman in particular whose name is Sherelle, she says that Ashley scammed her out of $2,000. She gave her the money, no course. And she said that the $1 million that Ashley had claimed she made mm-hmm. was really, first of all, it was greatly exaggerated. And she says that she got her money from a workers' comp settlement. She actually lost a finger at work and got
and that picture is her hand showing?
I don't remember. I don't think so. But she lost her finger at work and ended up getting a workers' comp settlement. And so that's really where the money came from. So everybody is posting all the, or a lot of people are posting, this woman, Sherelle in particular, is posting what I just said. And then around that same time, another woman, I think her name is Derica, mm-hmm. Derica Harwell. She's also posting online that Ashley's a scammer. She also posts that she filed a whole restraining order against Ashley. This is Derica, okay? Derica posts this, and her post about this restraining order also goes viral. It starts being shared over like 40,000 times, okay, that she got this restraining order. Mm-hmm. So the two are back and forth. And then in August of 2022, Derica says that Ashley, okay, the scammer girl, is posting hundreds of like false and defamatory statements about her on social media. She's DMing her, mm-hmm. like harassing her from different accounts, acting like she's not really her. And then on September,
somebody wound up dead.
Well, on September 26, 2022, the FBI goes to Derica's house. Okay. Not the scammer, the other girl. Mm-hmm. And they tell Derica that Ashley Grayson has attempted to hire somebody to kill her, specifically in the presence of her kids. So they're like, you need to move because there's a murder. There's a hit on you, girl.
How they get that information?
I'm sure the hitman must have snitched. She must have tried to ask the wrong person to kill somebody. And that person was like, I'm telling. I am I'm calling the jail.
How do you tell somebody that and tell them to move? Not that, hey, we just arrested her for trying to murder you.
Oh, I don't know. They end up I guess they do their long investigation because about a year later, it's announced that Ashley and her husband are charged with trying to hire somebody to kill. And the FBI said it wasn't just Derica, Sherelle too. She was trying to have these people who said she was a scammer. She literally, I'm like,
hold on, who's Sherelle?
Sherelle is the first person who was like, your money came from workers' comp.
Oh, she was trying to kill Sherelle too.
Yes.
Okay. And y'all think P. Diddy ain't got nobody up underneath his sleeve to get rid of folks.
Oh, absolutely. If
and you talking about this amateur girl
who is literally trying to hire people to kill these.
How do you just all of a sudden flip to this murderous contractor?
Yeah. Yes. And yeah. So, but hold on. So what happens before you made me jump ahead, before the charges came, okay, and Dereka gets the restraining order and she's like, she files this restraining order. Ashley files a defamation lawsuit against Dereka. The scammer files a defamation lawsuit against Dereka. She's like, you're online saying that I'm a scammer, saying that I tried to get somebody to kill you, and saying that that I didn't have no money, and you're lying about me. So they go, they're literally. So then Dereka countersues. And so the judge is like, what is happening between y'all? There is a lot happening. Okay, like you're saying she, and so for a while it was like, you're saying she tried, to your point, you're saying she tried to hire somebody to kill you, but like, what? And then the charges drop.
What charges drop?
The charges for her, for the murder for hire, her and her husband.
They dropped?
No, you're
saying
like,
they came out.
They came out.
Okay, girl, I'm thinking they done dropped the case.
No. So jury selection started on Monday. We are recording this. Today is Wednesday. Jury selection started on Monday. This is a case that a lot of people asked me to cover and I have been wanting to cover. The problem is I cannot find a stream. So
where is it located?
Tennessee. So I watched yesterday. I've been on the docket to get the updates. And so the jury was seated yesterday. So they had jury selection. They found their jurors, which would indicate to me today is opening statements. But again, I searched and have been searching and cannot find a stream. So I don't believe I'll be able to recap it the way that I intended to do. I'm not a lawyer, but videos on it to like do full on updates. What is the evidence? What is said, etc. But it doesn't look like it's happening. So I'm sure whenever the trial ends and the jurors come to a verdict, I'm sure it'll be on the news. Somebody will report it in Tennessee, some news station in Tennessee.
How long you think that trial will be? Probably also, if you're in Tennessee, you think you'll be able to watch it? Or is just like
if I was in Tennessee, I would go to the courthouse. But if there's you have to do a media request, the judge has to approve it. So I don't know if it comes down to some courts don't allow cameras, like New York is notorious for that. You cannot have, that's why we can't see Trump on trial, which pisses me off. But anyway, this is one that I have been wanting to follow. It started, so I'll just be looking, I guess, forward to the verdict. But that is a wild one. If you want, it's been trending all over the internet because one of the women, I think it's Dereka, who she was trying to kill, has been making videos because she's been at the courthouse, obviously.
Oh my goodness.
So or it was Sherelle. Sherelle was live yesterday on TikTok giving what updates she could. Yeah. So Sherelle is one of the people. Dereka Harwell, did I say it last correctly? Harwell is the other person. So if you want to check into that one, obviously you can. I won't be able to cover it, but
That's the new thing. The new hustle now is creating courses and selling courses.
Oh yeah, the digital ebooks is the whole thing.
So I mean, some of them are probably legit and some of them are fake, but yeah. That's wild. You make $1 million and now you're Escobar out here.
I think it's up to like 10 years they're facing.
They should get 10 years. They should get more than that.
Yep.
You about dumb. Dumb.
Dumb. Okay. That is today's debrief. Thank you for joining us.
Mm-hmm. Go get your palms read or something. See what your future look like.
Greg will have another conspiracy. I think at the end of them, I'll determine if you've convinced me to buy into whatever conspiracy it is or not.
Let me read your hand.
Don't right read there. My palm.
Tonight, I see lingerie. Oh.
Anyway, you see how this podcast turned into not the
I'm
podcast
gonna let y'all know
it's supposed
they
to be.
True.
Thank you for joining us. We'll be back next week. Patreon.com. I'm not a lawyer, but to join the Patreon, get access to the docs, watch this podcast live, comment with us, be in the chat, all of the above. Follow me, I'm not a lawyer, but on TikTok, Instagram. That's also a YouTube page. Subscribe, all of those things. What you got to say?
Follow me on IG. That's GOOLZBY. YouTube, Let Us Tell It. I have a podcast there with Marcus Tanksley. Yep.
Oh, and I have Tin and Juice.
And you can buy our merch, Underripped Merch, at underrippedmerch.com. If it's sold out, I got to re-up, but
thank y'all. Till next time. Bye.